The Lord God says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We believe, teach, and confess that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Now, the Pharisees in the Gospels are often easy targets for us. For yet again, we see here today that they are giving us ammunition to downplay the law, in this case, the laws of the Sabbath, and their overzealousness to keep the law. We know that Moses commanded that the people were to rest on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, and to not do any work. But what was unclear in this prohibition was what type of work was to be prohibited. So this led to various early Jewish rabbis, in their consideration, authorizing 39 specific kinds of work that you could not do on the Sabbath. This was known as the Babylonian Talmud. This included things like you could not reap, you could not harvest, you could not spin, you could not weave, you could not slaughter your animals, you could not cook, you could not demolish things, you could not rebuild things, you could not heal people. And naturally, the Jewish rabbis, they wanted to explain the law to the people when they had answers as to, okay, what can I do and what can I not do on the Sabbath? They had good intentions. But when we think of the law in minimalistic terms, and when I mean that, I mean this. How much do I have to do? We get in all sorts of problems. When children ask their parents, okay, Mom, how much dinner do I have to eat in order to get dessert? Or, exactly, Dad, how clean does my room have to be in order that I can play video games? Or, how about this one? You know, Dad, Mom said that I couldn't hit my sister, but is it okay if I poke her? And pastors love this one. Confirmand asks, so pastor, how much do I have to know? What grade do I have to get on the test in order for me to get confirmed this year? Parents and pastors and all of us, we get exasperated by these questions. Not because of the loopholes and of our kids or individual sinful nature. Sometimes we can applaud their ingenuity in terms of, that's a good one. I hadn't heard that one yet. No, we get frustrated because while they're focusing on the exact minutia and the externals of the law, that's not why we gave it to them in the first place. Parents and pastors and those in all of us who guide other people, we're not after the external observance of the law. What we are after is to form the inward heart and mind of the individual, of our child, or of the confirmand. So we want, therefore, to teach them what it means to love and what it means to be respectful and what it means to be responsible and to live an honorable life and to live a God-pleasing life according to God's will and in fervent love towards their neighbor. So when such a life, therefore, is displayed, does the plate, does the room have to be spotless? Does the recitation of the catechism have to be perfect? Does it? Now you know how Jesus felt that day with the Pharisees as they came up to him and his disciples and asked why his disciples were harvesting and doing things on the Sabbath. While the Pharisees were concerned with the external observance of the law, the exact letter of the law, That is not why God said, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. God is not after the external observance of the law, but he's after our inward heart and flesh. He wants us to fear, love, and trust in him because he is the only wise, loving, and trusting voice that we ought to listen to. He wants us to live by faith in his word because those are the only words that we believe, teach, and confess have eternal life. He wants us to spend time in his house because we get to, not because we have to. So questions regarding the law, particularly in this case, the third commandment, always reveal a problem that exists in our hearts. And the heart has a problem when it asks this question: do I have to go to church today? And we all have this heart problem. Pastors, people, everyone does. The person who comes to church and yet in heart and mind is somewhere completely else is no different than the person who skips church and goes plays golf or goes up to the casino or what have you. The person who comes to church simply wanting and waiting for it to be over is no different than the person who sits at home waiting for his friends to come home from church. And the person who comes to church, who thinks himself so superior than those who didn't come to church that day, is no different than the person who stays at home and thinks that all people who go to church are hypocrites. And this is where we are all called to repentance, where we recognize we all have these heart issues. Yes, God said the following: 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath unto the Lord your God. We hear this, but we stop there. And all then the law becomes is something that we must do, and it must be done exactly. It's an external thing. But we have to continue reading and hear what else God says. God continues, he says, you shall remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. So why do you keep the Sabbath? To remember. Not just to rest, but to remember. But to remember what? To remember that without God, you are slaves to sin. He who sins is a slave to sin, Jesus tells us. And that without God, you are not a free people, but a people that are possessed by your sinful desires that take you here, there, and everywhere that you do not want to go. To remember that God has brought you out of the land of such slavery and sinful possession. And to remember that God has rescued you. Indeed, that he's rescued you even when you thought foolishly that you were free, but you were actually enslaved. Or do you not remember that you were enslaved to sin? Oh, Jesus, we've never been enslaved to anyone. We've always been free, the Pharisees said. Oh, really? Oh, little how you forget that 400 years in Egypt. And furthermore, even when living in true freedom, that you would desire slavery, which you thought foolishly was freedom, you really want to go back to those flesh pots in Egypt and eat those leeks and onions because I brought you out here in the wilderness to die. No, I brought you out in this wilderness here to be free. The Sabbath day is a day to remember that without God, we have nothing but sin, death, and the devil around our neck. and that in the midst of that, God chose in His grace and forgiveness to give us everything. God says, remember this. Remember my love. Remember my promises that I spoke to you. And in order to help us remember, God does something very important. He establishes a place of worship, a temple, a divine service. And only here, where we hear His word, do we remember His wondrous deeds and the acts that brought us salvation. So think about it. Here, you hear the word of God, and you see the water, and you remember that God has washed you with a lavish washing of new birth in the Holy Spirit. Here you hear the word, and you see the bread, and you see the wine, and you remember that God, by His flesh and His blood, shed that on the cross, delivering you from all sin, death, and the devil's tongue. Here you hear the word of God, and you remember that God has worked faith in your heart by the Holy Spirit, has united you in a common truth, and forgives your sins and the sins of all believers. The Sabbath is never about the law simply being done in a mechanical way. Because if that was the case, God would have made in the beginning what? Robots. It's about our heart and our flesh that He wants. For as Jesus says, the Sabbath and the things of the Sabbath, they were made for the benefit of man and his heart, not man for the Sabbath. So we don't keep the Sabbath, if you will, simply by showing up to church as if by our mere presence God checks off the box and says, okay, you're good for the week, or you're good for the month or the year or whatever it is. God wants to be remembered. But how does He want to be remembered? How does He want to be known? Well, first, He wants to be known as our true Father, present here to take care of us, and that we as His true children draw close to Him in all confidence and boldness. He also wants us to know that He is our Savior and friend, present to feed us with the forgiveness of sins and life, and to renew and strengthen our hearts for this very wearisome life that we live. And He also wants us to know again that His Spirit dwells within our hearts, gathering us into this house and causing us to be richly forgiven by Him. So we must also then realize, and Martin Luther makes this point in some of his writings, that the law is not against the promise, that the law is not against the gospel. Not only does the gospel not depend upon the law is always preached and always spoken in service to the gospel. That is to say, the law humbles you and makes you groan for the gospel. The law makes God's gospel so sweet and so refreshing. And why is this? Because a man who has never tasted bitterness will never know sweetness. Or in my case, a young boy who grew up in California for countless years never knew and appreciated the sun until he moved to Wisconsin. Hunger is the best cook, right? As the dry earth thirst for rain, so the law makes the troubled heart thirst for Christ. And so God's law and gospel is at work, moving us and causing all the false moves of our flesh to realize their stupidity. So when we say in our heart this, well, I don't have to remember the Sabbath day, for God's going to forgive me anyway. The law says, no, He's not. But when my heart says, well, I must remember the Sabbath day at every single point. I must not miss a single Sunday, and if I do, then I must be going to hell, and God's not going to forgive me. The gospel says, no, that's not true either. The law is meant to make you thirsty, not to show your neighbor how hydrated or how much water you can drink in the day. The gospel is to show you that you are thirsty, and in the midst of your thirstiness, your parched lips are fully quenched by the springs of living water that flow from Jesus and are given by him. The Sabbath, the divine service, it's not about loopholes, it's not about limits, it's about God being here for you and you receiving what God desires to give you. God says, therefore, come. He commands you to come, but not out of obligation, but rather out of need. So we come not like the Pharisees with all of their objections and all of their concerns about the minutiae of the law, who did not see Jesus who did not see God in Jesus before their very eyes. We come to the house of the Lord like King David did. We come in need and poverty and weakness, struggling and weary to be fed by God and therefore to live in God. For God says, I have given you everything. Therefore, eat the bread of presence, that is, the body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you. Why? Because Jesus says that he has given his body and his blood, and that you are to do this in what? In remembrance of him. That is what the Sabbath is all about. Gladly hearing and learning, remembering and believing. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.